I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister.
On the previous episode of Muslim Lady, we were talking about the concept of self-care, its importance, and its examples within Islam, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom the Quran refers to as Uswatun Hasana, the best example and role model for all of humanity, was actually one of the people who really took good care of himself, aside from spiritually, but physically as well.
And his wives.
You know, he made sure to keep them happy and to fulfill the responsibilities he had. And, you know, it's interesting because who's busier than the Prophet of God?
Exactly.
Right? He never let that get in the way. I was like, I'm a prophet. I don't have time to groom myself.
And he didn't have any assistant.
Exactly.
You know, like maybe like Mr. President these days, he has like someone to tailor his suit for him, someone who to do the hairdo. He did everything himself.
Exactly. That was actually one of his characteristics. He never asked anyone to do anything for him.
He even like mended his own.
Exactly.
But for one thing I was reading in a hadith today, he got some help. We'll talk about it later.
Sure, of course. So more on self-care and its importance. We talked about how important it is for new moms or like second-time new moms, you know, women who have little babies already and have just given birth, how important it is for them to receive that support and attention that they need, the encouragement, and someone, especially the spouse, their parents or their in-laws, to lift at least half of the load off their shoulders, at least half. You know, because her body is so frail and her mind has become so fragile and she's suffering from so many deficiencies and it's just really hard. People, be more understanding. Please proceed, Sister Razia.
I was thinking of like self-care tips or techniques that we can learn from the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. So because of this, I thought that we can, you know, take... We are actually taking the noble prophet as a role model, and you know, we're learning so much from him. But then this is a very good excuse to
highlight exactly an aspect that we can all relate to.
Yeah, I want to actually share five tips. I'm not going to share all the five tips in this program, but inshallah, I would like to share with you five tips that I thought were really good self-care tips that we can learn from the Prophet. The first one is that if you want to have self-care, if you want to embark on your journey of self-care, you will have to have time management. Time management is the key to your success. If you remember in our previous program, I told you that this mom was, you know, the working mom juggling between different responsibilities.
Yes.
Yeah, so you have you have to set priorities for yourself, and you will have to see, you know, write down the tasks that you are responsible for, which one comes first, which one is second, how much time and energy you have to allocate to each and every one of these entries. So this is number one. Even we have some verses from the Noble Quran that talk about time management. For example, there is a beautiful verse in the Noble Quran that says, فَإِذَا قُزِيَتِ السَّلَاتُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Maybe on first sight, let's talk about the, let's read the translation. Maybe on first sight, you're going to see that, how is that related to time management? So it says, and when the prayer is finished, disperse through the land and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and remember Allah much so that you will be felicitous. So how is that related to time management?
Pray first.
Pray first.
Yeah.
This was, I read in the Tafasir that a caravan used to come, a merchant, you know, with merchants and selling so many like interesting goods. And they would draw on the drums to attract attention. And people would gather and, you know, they would just see what's new in store. And sometimes, like on one occasion, it was praying time and the prophet was waiting. And these people had just left him to go see, you know, what was what the caravan had for them, like the new goods that was brought to their city. So knowing this, it's like, pray first, my dear,
exactly.
And then go do whatever you want to do. So the set priorities for yourself. The first priority is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which can come in numerous forms. Praying is just one form of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But as-salatu amududdin, it's like the pillar of your religion and your faith is praying. And then if you have all the other deeds or acts in your life, if you're looking at it from the perspective of, you know, I'm doing it for the sake of pleasing God, all of these are also considered as worshiping acts,
definitely.
Right? So remember that you have to manage your time. There's a narration from the Prophet and from the Aimmah, from Imam Ali alayhi salam and other infallibles, of how they, you know, divided their time. Imam Hussein says, I asked my father how the noble Prophet divided his time. And Imam Ali alayhi salam replied that when the Prophet wanted to, whenever he wanted, he willed to go home, he would go home. And at home, he would divide his time into three parts. One part for himself, which in the part for himself, he divided it between himself and the people. The people, he would accept visitors, the elites.
Okay.
They would come to him, especially scholars and knowledgeable people, and he would transfer valuable information to them, and they would go and share it with other people. And one part for only for himself. In this time, he would like attend to his personal needs, like, you know, mending his clothes or brushing his hair or, you know, whatever he wanted to
cleaning
do.
And
cleaning.
Washing,
exactly. Yeah. Or eating something.
We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we are discussing the importance of self-care in Islam and its examples.
So remember that you have to manage your time. There's a narration from the Prophet of how he, you know, divided their time. One part for himself, and the second part, he devoted it to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third part, he spent it for his family. Family time. So if he was at home 3 hours or 6 hours, 2 hours for himself, I'm assuming he divided them equally.
I'm also assuming he didn't sleep as much as we do.
Yeah.
Like 5 hours tops. And he woke up a kajillion times in between to observe Salat al-Layl.
I know. Yeah, he slept very little. We're going to talk about that too. In another hadith, I read from the Prophet that he was talking to Abu Dhar. He said, Abu Dhar, a wise person would divide his time into four parts. One for worship of God. The other one for contemplating on your own actions, what you have done. One for halal pleasures. And the fourth one, to ponder on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a lot of ahadith from other infallibles where they say that, you know, time is to be divided into three or four parts. And then the important part is that this family time or this halal pleasures or joys, they said that this portion of your time is the time that re-energizes you for the other three parts.
Beautiful.
So if you have to do sports, if you have to eat well, if you have to go on vacation, if you have to spend time with your family, this is the time where it re-energizes your battery. So it's a quality portion where you have to pay a lot of attention to. So self-care starts with managing your time.
Right.
The second point that I got from looking at the teachings of Islam, focusing on the life of Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the essence of self-care is mindfulness.
Definitely.
Right? And I somehow mentioned this in the first part where I said that if you are doing, you know, besides prayers, which is a form of worship, if any of the other acts, any of them, if you even beautification of yourself, even putting perfume on, even what, you know, whatever self body care, self care, hair care, whatever, if it's with the intention of serving God, if you're doing something for your family, if you're going on a vacation, if you're playing sports, whatever, if it's with the intention of preparing your body and your mind for the servitude of God, this all the time you're doing ibadah.
Beautiful.
In pictures, when you see someone going to for meditation, because as a form of self-care is also meditation, where you concentrate all your attention on one certain topic, right? So every single day, they say al-a'malu bin-niyat. This niya is mindfulness, right? And our mind is full of thoughts.
Yep, yep.
Scattered things are in our minds, and there is little order,
definitely,
in our brain.
It's so chaotic.
How we are, our brain is functioning. So this mindfulness puts our mind at ease. So once your mind is at peace, this is the best form of self-care.
Definitely.
So we have like physical self-care, psychological self-care, spiritual self-care, mental self-care. So this form, mindfulness, is a kind of mental self-care.
For sure.
That we should pay attention to.
Absolutely. And it's actually much easier than we think. It's sometimes when we mention meditation, people are like, oh my God, it's so hard. How am I going to find the time? How am I going to find the concentration? But you take baby steps. After like 3 days of trying, consecutive days, you'll realize, oh no, it's not that bad, and you feel so light afterwards. That's all the time we have for today's episode. So thank you so very much, Sister Razi, and thank you to our listeners for being with us. Inshallah, more on tips regarding self-care in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on future episodes of Muslim Lady. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger to Allah.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.